This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I moved here from Boston to Chicago not too long ago at WXRT. We also are celebrating our 50th anniversary. So we've been playing Roxy Music and Brian Ferry for as many years as I guess you've been making music.
Yeah, well, it's great to have that kind of support. And yeah, it's Chicago is one of the favorite places for us when we go on tour in the States. It's a beautiful city, and the audiences have always been very kind to us. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one very much. And
would you have a messy hot dog while you're here? That's one of the things about the city. I can't picture. Not
well,
necessarily.
Yeah, it's a big part of touring. It's one of the great enjoyments is trying out new places and going to places that you've been to before that you tried and tested.
One of the things that's nice, I think, about Chicago is that it is a city that holds on to its old places. So you have the traditional, and then there's some wonderful new restaurants and things like that pop up.
It's great traditions, doesn't it? And I love going to the museums there, and the Art Institute is fantastic.
I haven't been yet. I just moved here. Can we go together? Kidding.
Oh, you should. Well, you should definitely get there.
I'm
not sure which day I'm going, but it's an incredible place. You have to go make a few trips because there's a lot of stuff there, and it's beautiful.
You know, what does Brian Ferry pack when it's time? Because when I have to travel anywhere, my packing is just an awful mess. I can't imagine it's the same for you.
I don't know why, but packing seems to be very stressful for me and some people. I don't know. It's especially if you're going away for a few weeks and they're saying, oh, I might need this or that. And,
right.
And there's never... never enough bags.
But I would think you would have like the old fashioned, when you get on a steamer, you'd have all these trunks and things like that.
Ah, well, the trunks, they go ahead, of course. They go in the trucks. So lots of stuff I like to have around here. So,
like what? What are some of the things you would never travel without, if you don't mind my asking, other than the, you know, obvious things a gentleman would need?
Various medicines that keep me alive. And I don't know, lots of things. Shirts I like, you know, in the clothes department, I guess I like to have... different options for different things. I don't know.
As do I. My boyfriend always says, you can't have all of these backup plans. You have to just pick it out and choose it. And I said, oh, you're a guy. You're just like that. But not everybody's like Brian Ferry. Your style.
Some people just like to take an empty suitcase and shop on their way. But I don't really do that.
How much time will you have here? I know that the tour is, you're doing 10 North American cities only, right?
We normally have a one day off everywhere, so you kind of try and cram everything in that you can, but at the same time you're trying to get some rest as well, so it's you're trying to balance balance that, because you know, naturally curious about seeing things that you know you like and things you might not have seen before, traveling can be tiring, and the show is the most important thing about the tour, so you have to respect those things and try and not exert yourself too much. Having fun is off limits, sort of.
I know. It must be obviously so much different. Do you remember the first time Roxy Music toured in 1972?
I've dim and distant memories of being very cold in Chicago, yeah.
Last night I was watching, just because you can these days, I saw the old Gray Whistle test, where you, I guess that was your debut, Ladytron. It was just mad cacophony of brilliance and style. And then I read afterwards, is it Bob Harris? Was he the host?
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, that's right.
And he had made some dismissive comment, I think right before you guys started, that said, oh, you know, their master's that, a style over substance or something.
Yeah, that's unusual. But I hope we proved him wrong.
Oh, I would, like I said, just watching that, I don't know if you go back and watch any of these old images and some of the videos that are available. It's incredible that they are available now. I imagine when you went on, you wouldn't be thinking amazing. That 50 years later, people would be discovering, you know, that great performance.
The first appearance we ever did in front of a camera was a video we did at the Royal College of Art here in London for Remake Remodel, also from that first album. And that's one of the best things we ever did. Somebody was looking at it with me the other day, actually. And it's funny how the past can still be there. Jolt your memory and think, oh my gosh, yeah, I remember being there.
Yeah, pretty brave the way you, I mean, how did you all meet and come together?
Well, it took a while. I mean, I was kind of looking for the perfect band and I kind of found it in the end. I mean, we just, one by one, I found the people. First of all, it was me and the bass player who I'd played with. Graham, who had played in my old college band. We'd been at university together. So it was, first of all, just the two of us. And I met Andy Mackay, the sax player, because I was kind of interested in electronic music. And I told an art school friend of mine that I was looking for somebody who played synthesizer because I wanted to make some electronic stuff and the music I was doing. And so he put me on to Andy Mackay, who had a synth and who also played oboe and saxophone. So he became part of the band. And then we didn't have a tape recorder. There were three of us at that point. We didn't have a tape recorder to record what we were doing in the room we were working in. And Andy says, well, I know this guy called Brian Eno who has a tape recorder. And he came over the next day and recorded us and then stayed and became part of the band. Mm-hmm. And that went from there. And then we auditioned and looked at various guitar players, eventually found Phil Manzanera.
Brilliant.
And the drummer, Paul Thompson, who is touring with us, as is Phil this year. And Paul was from my hometown. And so we had a lot in common there. We had a kind of similar northern pedigree, and the same sort of sense of humor. And it's so great this week to have been rehearsing with him and having this powerful kind of rhythmic element in the band. It's great.
Well, he's fantastic, no doubt. Also, Newcastle's where you grew up, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Now I don't know much about Newcastle. What was it like growing up? You had
It's kind of beautiful up there, and it's remote enough from London to be very different. You know, there's a kind of strong local culture, strong local sense of humor, strong dialect, which I lost more and more as I lived in the South, and I've lived in the South for 50 years more. And when I talked with Paul, the Geordie voice comes back to me. Up there, it's a coal mining area, you know. And so it's quite tough, quite a rough, tough place, and a good place to come from. A lot of people are very down to earth, you know, and which kind of the opposite of how you imagine anyone from Roxy Music. But it was a very good grounding for me being born up and going to college there too. It was really a great time in my life. It's when I first met other people from my generation who were interested in making art and making music as well. And I kind of got involved with both. And It's been my life.
Have any of the others continued on in such a way as you have from those days?
From my school to college days, I don't really. Actually, last night I had dinner with an old college friend, and he became a professor of art at one of the universities, and he's a good artist, and he helped me actually on some of the Roxy Music album covers, doing the typography. Nick DeVille, he is still a very good and loyal friend.
Great. Even that brings the iconic album cover artwork for Roxy Music albums, which, you know, like my older brother would be, I was a little shy to buy, you know, this one or that one. Yeah. Especially, I think, Country Life, right, would be...
Country Life.
But lovely ladies, nonetheless. Were they friends of Can or something, or sister? Were they the German ones?
The German ladies, yes, yeah. They were. One was the sister... of one of the band, and the other was the girlfriend. So, they were closely involved, and they helped with the German translation in one of the songs. Bittersweet had some lines in German, and they did the translation for that. They were just people we met on one of my trips when I was writing songs for the album, actually, and I went with the photographer and stylist, and we did the shoot out in Portugal. That's where it was.
Oh, beautiful.
And that's where I wrote some of the songs. And all these memories, eh?
I know. I can only imagine, you know, once you do begin touring, since you've already been rehearsing together, what an experience that'll be. And for us, I mean, we fans, I mean, I didn't come across Roxy Music till, you know, somewhat later than it was actually happening, maybe. And that's the same thing with generations of people. And that's got to be so gratifying, maybe even humbling, to know that all of these decades later, whatever it was that you had in mind when you all put together these albums, other people have discovered, and you've influenced so many other people. I and I'm sure a lot of other people can remember exactly where they were or what they were doing at what point in their life when they hear a particular song. I remember in Boston driving in my first car, which was just a piece of junk, and leaving some sort of party where I was really just not happy, and I just, none of that socializing seemed like anything. And the overnight DJ in Boston played Mother of Pearl. I had to pull over.
You very rarely hear stuff like that on the radio.
What does that song mean to you, or where were you when you wrote that, if you don't mind my asking?
It was the third album, and I remember everything had to be written in a rush. It was like, okay, we've had the two albums, and now we want a third one, and you know, we've been touring a lot, and there was just no time, and I wrote some of the songs, I don't know, in different places, actually. Mother of Pearl, I remember going off to one of the Greek islands with my friend Simon Puxley, who was the Roxy publicist, and a real great character, wonderful guy, and really clever. He was a kind of PhD in English literature, and he was like a really great friend to me. We worked together for many years. Anyway, I went to Greece with Simon, and where I was writing some of the songs, finishing off some of the stuff, and actually conceiving some of them. And one of them was Mother of Pearl. I'd taken a bass guitar with me. I don't really play bass. I don't play anything except piano, really. Mm-hmm. Keyboards. And anyway, I took a small keyboard and I took a bass. And I remember writing Mother of Pearl on the bass. And
oh, God, the lyrics are just brilliant. Seems like you can hear something different every time.
Just recently, this year, I put out a lyric book for the first time. And it was great pulling together all the songs into one place and making sure all the words were right and all the spelling. So anyway, I've got them all in one place. So that was great. And Mother of Pearl is probably my best song, really.
Oh, I think it's just, it is pretty amazing on all levels. Not to fawn all over you, Brian Ferry. Roxy Music. Roxy Music's 50th anniversary will hit United Center here in Chicago on September 19th. But there's also the reissues that go along with your 50th anniversary with Roxy Music. So the first two are out. How many of those are out? And you do intend to do all of the albums from the 10 years, yes?
That's right, yeah. And, yes, the... it's nice to see people interested in vinyl again. I mean, it's great.
Isn't it? Yeah. Have you listened and found, are there other, never before heard tracks or things like that? Have you gone into the stacks and that sort of thing?
Not really. No, I haven't. No, I've been too busy working on new stuff, really, in the past, trying to make up for lost time the past couple of years, and... writing new songs and I did an EP of covers of songs I liked, and so yeah, I've been very busy, and it's nice to see these reissues of the vinyl Roxy albums.
Yeah, some of your solo albums have covers. The one where you're standing in front of the pool, and You Are My Sunshine. I can just remember playing that over and over.
Yeah, I did that cover with Eric Berman, who also photographed the Country Life cover. Actually, we did that one in Los Angeles at the old Bel Air Hotel, which had this beautiful swimming pool, and their white tuxedo and all that. An unusual kind of setting and outfit for a kind of.
It made us think, yes, this is what Brian Ferry wears to the pool as well. And always my mom would say, who's that handsome man who dresses so well? Oh, that's the one I like. whatever albums that was I was listening to, she called Lou Reed Frankenstein, I believe. So anyway, as far as the new music that you're doing, is it going to be some new solo material? Are you working with some of the members of Roxy Music?
Solo stuff, really, hopefully for next year. Release next year, so it's always exciting to work on new things, but the last few weeks obviously been concentrating on this the Roxy show, and hopefully there's going to be something for everyone.
Yeah, how do you choose what you're going to play?
It's difficult because you're just trying to do a representative selection of songs from each album, from the whole catalog of work, and plenty of the early stuff, and hopefully enough of the later stuff as well that people like a lot too.
And you have St. Vincent touring with you everywhere,
yes,
which is great. How did that come about? She's fantastic too, and very original and creative.
Yeah, she was. She was available to do the tour, and I think she likes our music, which is great. And it's good to have her. It's very pleased. I think it's a good combination.
I think so too. The whole through the generations, you both have, similar musical ethics. Maybe I could think of, but I don't feel like I want to keep you for too long. But when you were in Chicago, you're welcome to celebrate your 50th anniversary with our 50th anniversary and stop by. You never know.
Well, thank you very much. We're all growing up together.
Well, it's my greatest pleasure to speak with you. I thank you so much, and I wish you and the band all the best, and I'll be there. Making a lot of noise, I'm sure.
I look out for you. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk.
Thank you so much. Be well, Brian.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.